coming to you live from our secret underground lair.
This is Gotham Undercover,
a Golden Spiral Media podcast dedicated to the Fox television series Gotham.
This week we discuss a new chapter from the storybook of Gotham's villains and defenders of justice.
Now it's time to join your hosts, Tim Arthur and Karen Lindsay, for
Gotham Undercover.
All right. Hey, citizens of Gotham. This is Tim.
And this is Karen. Hi, everyone.
And this week we're going to talk about the penultimate episode of season one, entitled The Anvil and the Hammer, directed by Paul Edwards and written by Jordan Harper. Quite a doozy.
Yeah, and some newbies.
Yeah, no doubt. This was probably, I would say, on the scale of 1 to 10, probably a 9 in terms of the content, in terms of how graphic it was, and the subject matter that was dealt with in this particular episode. Lots of blood and a little bit of bondage going on there. So it was kind of pushing the TV-14 rating, I think, a little bit beyond the limits, personally. But what do you think?
It was definitely pushing them. I mean, I don't have kids, so it's hard for me to get that sort of perspective. But it was definitely pushing those boundaries.
I mean, this is something that that we've talked about on the podcast before, previously, when Ryan was hosting with me. We talked about, because we both have kids under 16 in the house. Actually, kids under 14 in the house, too. And the fact that it's an 8 o'clock time slot and it's a TV-14, we felt that that might be pushing it a little bit, especially since it's 8 o'clock. And neither of us felt safe watching the show at any point in time with our kids. Just because of, you know, whether it be, the sex angle, the violence angle, it pushed the boundaries for sure. And, for adult viewing, I think, hey, it's great drama.
Right.
But, I don't know. It's definitely not a kid's show.
Right. I mean, as I am right now, I would say, hey, whatever, as long as, you know, you're good with it, let your kids watch. But again, I'm coming from I don't have kids sort of perspective, so. You know,
but definitely this episode. Wow, it was full of stuff that we have to contemplate here in this episode. We definitely want to know what you think about the Anvil and the Hammer. This episode, we thought it was pretty chock full of awesome stuff, and we'll give you our rating later in the episode. We want to know what you think. Give us a call on the GSM voice feedback line at 304-837-2278. Be sure to get that feedback in via the voicemail line and other means before 6 p.m. Eastern on Wednesdays.
Yeah, and also, if you want to give us feedback, you can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can submit your text. It'll come to us in email. You can attach an audio file, or you can use the SpeakPipe widget on the page and just talk right into your mic.
Yeah, that SpeakPipe thing's pretty cool. You just click the button and you talk away, and it sends us an MP3 file. And if we get your feedback via SpeakPipe, we might even use it in the show itself. So get that feedback in. We require that that feedback is in our inboxes by 6 p.m. Eastern every Wednesday, because we record on Wednesday nights.
Yep, yep.
So this week, in terms of new characters, our dossiers, one of my favorite actors, actually, Chris Chalk, shows up as the infamous Lucius Fox.
Yeah, he's good. He's been in a lot of things, but most notably The Newsroom and Homeland.
Yeah, he played Brody's partner in Homeland, and wow, that was a great character. So always great to see him on screen. And looking forward to seeing more of him in maybe the final episode of this season, as well as upcoming seasons.
And next season, yes. I'm quite sure he's going to be a very powerful ally to young Master Bruce, and probably hang in there with Alfred as well. So with him being really the only person on our dossier this week, let's go straight to the chat of our episode.
Yeah, so we're going to just kind of burn through this episode because there's just so much going on. We're not going to really break it down. I'm kind of trying to go, I guess, sequentially through it if we can. So we basically start out with Barbara having spent the night with the ogre, and we were wondering, right, about how she was going to react to the room of fun, if you will.
Yeah, and it turns out that we were kind of right that she was not scared by it because she ended up staying the night.
Yeah, and then, you know, after she stayed the night, she's like, you know, oh, that was great and all, and I'm going to go now and I'll see you later. And he wasn't really having that, was he?
Now, do you think that that is some sort of judgment that maybe he's not so good? Because the girls all want to leave real quick in the morning.
No, I don't know. I think, you know, maybe she...
Or did they just want to get to work, dude?
Maybe she just had to attend to business, you know?
Okay. And, I don't know. It's just, you know, twice now we've seen, hey, I got to go. But yeah, he starts to give her the same speech, but with a bit of a difference this time. He pulls back the curtain. I was going to kill you.
And then he shows her the magic briefcase with all the pictures, right?
Yeah.
The girls. And then she's like, you killed all these girls here? And then she faints after he's like, well, yeah, you know.
Yeah, I think he spikes her water.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that was just her fainting or what.
Yeah, I'm not. I thought it was fainting, and then I thought, well, maybe he put something in the water. And then, you know, she seems so out of it for the episode.
Right.
I think it might be some sort of mood-altering sort of substance that he's giving her. So it's kind of nebulous. You know, with Gotham, there's always some weird sort of, you know, comic-y drug that we don't know about. You know.
Yeah, so Barbara, being the strong physical force that she is, tries to give him a little shove and then run for the door.
Yep.
And that didn't work too well.
Nope.
Next thing we see is basically she's all shackled up, hanging from the rafters. We got to look at her armpits for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Over and over again. They're very nice.
I suppose. If you like that sort of thing.
I guess. That's kind of all you saw. She's like covered in, you know, covered in a gag and whatnot. And then you see her all like, hey, I'm just hanging out. But and then he proceeds to tell her, you know, calm down. I'm going to take this off now. And by the way, my apartment is soundproofed.
Yeah. Smart move on his part, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But So that's kind of what we see. You know, he lets her down and he tells her the whole, you know, how she's different and special and she's the one.
And he's going to prove it to her.
Yeah. But, you know, on a side tangent, we venture back over to the GCPD and we see Leslie Tompkins talking with Jim Gordon. And Jim's really still kind of all bent out of shape about where Barbara is.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, you know, he's like, well, we haven't found a body, so I think she's still alive. And he's blaming himself.
Yeah.
For all of this.
Well, with the way things go with the ogre, you can kind of see where he would make that connection.
Right.
But, you know, as they say on a whole host of other shows, and I'm assuming in real life, the actions are only the ogre's. I mean, they're only his.
Mm-hmm.
They can't be blamed on Gordon. You know, he might take this upon himself, but really, when it comes down to it, it's only that one person that you can blame things on. So I think that's where Leslie was kind of taking it in that conversation.
So she's trying to kind of comfort him and make sure. She's like, are you hungry? Have you been eating?
It's so cute. And she brings him donuts.
Motherly questions, you know, those kinds of things. So part of the most, one of the most interesting things of last episode, beyond the ogre storyline was Ed murdering Doherty, you know?
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. And we see him with a bag full of Doherty's parts, or a couple boxes or whatever the heck, chest of Doherty.
The chest of mystery Doherty parts. Yep.
And he's, you know, preparing to kind of, it looks like he's preparing to kind of dissolve them in like acid and some other things. And Kris Kringle shows up at the door.
Yep. Look,
you know, wanting to come in. Can I talk with you, Ed? And he's like,
sure.
Come back later. I'm doing the dishes.
Yeah.
But
I like that he uses the phrase nobody, no crime.
He utters it to himself.
Yeah, over and over. Nobody, no crime. Nobody, no crime. Yep.
So he talks with Kris, and he basically learns that she's all concerned. She's like, have you seen Doherty? I haven't seen him. Nope, I haven't seen him.
Yeah, because Ed is the person you want to go to when the guy you're mooning over, I mean,
yeah,
really, he's not the person you'd want to go to, right? Although they are friends, so I guess.
Yeah, and then later on in the episode, we learn that she receives a note saying that he had left town.
Mm-hmm. But you know, the note is not, of course, from Doherty.
Yeah, it's from Buddy Ed.
And he puts a little Easter egg in it for her. He writes his name down the side in his riddle. And I like how you can see this killing that he's done has kind of loosened a nut in his brain. I think it's made him go a little insane.
Well, he uses the term with her, you know, he even says to her, you know, maybe it's time to read between the lines.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that you and I had talked about. This is, and this is kind of, I think he's there. I think he's in full tilt mode at this point, you know, because he finds that real entertaining. He's like, read between the lines.
Yeah.
He's there.
Yeah. He just hasn't fallen down into it completely. He's there.
Mm-hmm.
He just hasn't leapt yet. You know, he doesn't quite know that he's there. So, yeah, he still thinks he's a good guy.
Yeah. He knows there's something wrong with him, though.
Well, sure. But, you know, he's still working there. At the police department. So I think there's still a part of him that thinks he's a police person. You know, he knows he's done a bad thing, but I still think there's part of him that thinks he's this decent person.
Yeah.
But he's not, obviously. He's gone off the deep end. So, and I think that's part of the Riddler, is that he thinks he's funny and, you know, just this funny, happy-go-lucky thing. And I really don't think he thinks he's evil.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
He's like a little boy.
Yes. I just think he's crazy. Like, the Joker knows he's evil.
Yeah.
I think the Riddler might every once in a while think he's evil when he's lucid. But when he's not, I think he just thinks he's having fun.
Yeah.
So I think he's getting there to that point. And I do think he's lost it. I think the only thing keeping him even slightly tethered is Kris right now. And as soon as Kris says that no matter what, I'm not going to go out with you, which is probably what's going to happen, that's it. That's going to be it. He's going to start sewing the Lycra. Making the suit.
Yeah.
We haven't seen a suit yet, have we?
No, we have not seen the funny suit.
No. I mean, not any suit.
I don't know if we will, though.
No, I don't think so. I'm just saying we haven't seen anyone in any kind of superhero-y suit.
Yeah.
I think, Celia whatever, Catwoman. I think her outfit is as close to her suit as we've seen. Right?
Yeah. That's, I think we're probably going to see her sticking with that.
Yeah, I think so too.
That even kind of fits in almost with the Christopher Nolan, mm-hmm. You know, Anne Hathaway get up that we saw in The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. I just think that's as close as we're going to get to any sort of a superhero, supervillain. And the Penguin, of course, kind of looks like his outfit. But otherwise, yeah. Okay, so back to the ogre, or?
Let's talk about Bruce for a little bit.
Okay.
So Bruce has kind of a come clean moment with Alfred, right?
Yeah. Well, that's after he goes to visit the...
Oh, yeah, that's true. So let's talk about the Sid Bunderslaw thing.
Yeah, he goes on a tour of Wayne Industries. And I gotta go potty. And he pulls the alarm.
Well, here's the thing, though. He does talk with Alfred first, because he gets the... Alfred delivers the note from Selina with the key.
Right. Yeah, but he says is, you know, you're going to go and identify your friend's body.
Right. Okay, so he doesn't tell him that. Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I think he wants to say something, but he can't. And he says, do you want me to go with you? Oh, I don't think it's something you want to do. And, you know, there's part of him that really wants to say, I feel like I should, because I'm kind of responsible, but he can't. He can't really make himself do that.
Yeah.
But he does have this other job he has to do. So he goes off to do his merry hijinks at Wayne Industries. And he does not take Selina with him.
Nope.
And we thought maybe he would, but he doesn't. And, I like how he, as any schoolboy would, pulls the alarm at Wayne Industries.
Smart man.
And gets into Sid's office, but Sid is onto him. Selina, yes. Not quite the cat burglar that she thought she was.
Well, you know, Sid shows up and kind of engages with Bruce, but it's kind of like uneventful.
Yeah, a little on the sinister side, but nothing really, nothing big. I mean, it's not like he really threatens him. All he does is kind of shoot down Bruce's ideal of his father.
He tells him that his father knew of a lot of the wrongdoings and things. And
right. And he's always held his father up to this standard of greatness.
Right, and even Alfred reinforces that later, you know. In the episode, he confirms to Bruce that his father was a good man.
Mm-hmm. And Lucius as well.
Right, and that's kind of the real, for me, the significance of the scene was that we are introduced to Lucius Fox.
Mm-hmm. Who overhears part of it from mm-hmm. out in the hallway and takes him aside and says, you know, there's cameras everywhere, so listen and don't say anything, don't acknowledge I'm talking to you, but there's more to this than you know, and you know. And so he kind of confirms, hey, you know, maybe your dad was not in on the whole thing. So I think that was the main thrust of the whole thing, was getting him to meet Lucius and also letting him know that, yeah, Sid was on to you, but even though you found out this stuff about your dad and your grandfather, you also found out that maybe your dad and your grandfather had other stuff going. So maybe you need to learn from what your dad and your grandfather did. So, you know, he has this idea that he wants to out everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the smarter plan is to kind of go on the sly. And I think that's what Lucius is saying, is that your dad had these other things happening while, you know, pretending to go along with everything that was going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not what Bruce does ultimately. And that's what gets him in a lot of trouble later down the road.
Yep. Yep. I don't know. It's almost like Lucius, though, even though he's a real person, you know, you kind of liken it, jumping to the Marvel side of the fence. It's almost like Jarvis is to Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we go along in the canon of Batman, Lucius is always kind of so, and so to a certain extent, Alfred is as well, mm-hmm. but he's like the technological wingman, if you will.
Yeah, Lucius is like a cross between that and Q.
Yeah.
From the 007s.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Bruce is the money behind Q, and he's the tech behind Q.
Yeah, so it was great to see him in the episode. Chris Chalk does a great job kind of introducing us to the character.
I can't wait to see him next season.
Yeah, and we definitely see him, you know, kind of, as you mentioned already, kind of taking Bruce aside under his wing a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to be good, I think.
It's going to be awesome. So
now we have his posse, as it were, mm-hmm. Alfred and Lucius. And so he's already got his Batcave group together, which is wonderful. So
yeah.
I love that.
Yep. So before we head back to the ogre, let's touch a little bit upon the penguin, right?
Sure. So now, I was suspicious about this whole Connor storyline last week, if you'll remember.
Yep.
With good reason. I thought that he wanted to kill Maroni with his own hands. But apparently he didn't want to do that. He just wanted to start a war. So I underestimated him a little bit.
Was he a mole?
Who, Connor?
Yeah.
No. He was an unwitting pawn.
Mm.
He sent him in with guns that didn't work, with a fake message in order to make it look like he was from the other crime family.
Well, then he ended up with his head in a box.
Yep. Saying that he was coming from the other crime family. So it looked like one crime family was trying to take out the other crime family, and he started a war between the two families. And that way, Oswald wasn't in debt to either family, and there was a war, and no matter which way it ends up, he ends up not being indebted to either side anymore.
Yeah, well, Maroni's, after getting that head in the box, Maroni didn't pull any punches, and his super friends there go out and shoot up the town pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an all-out war now. So he ended up stirring up quite the little hot pot, and the precinct is going nuts. So he owes... Gordon owes him a big favor.
Yeah.
Guess what that's going to be? Getting him out of this mess.
You think Jim's going to do that?
He owes him a big favor.
Well, yeah. But do you think Jim's going to do that?
It depends on what the mess is.
Yeah.
If it's only a gray area, then he might. He might. I don't know. I mean, if it turns out that, you know, the families end up kind of decimating each other and the evidence points to Oswald, but if they divert it and it ends up Maroni could go to jail instead, he might bury that evidence in order for Maroni to go to jail instead, you know, because it's still a bad guy off the street.
Yeah.
I don't know, because we talked about Maroni going to jail instead of the, you know, dying thing. Because we know he has to live, right?
Yeah, yeah. So let's focus back on the ogre for a minute. We basically go back to the ogre and Barbara, and you know, he tells her, and he's giving her some funny water, and something's going on with her mentally at this point in time, obviously, because A, she's being held captive, and B, I think he's spiking her drink, like you said.
Yeah.
But he basically is prodding her mentally for ideas on who she most wants to get rid of, it seems.
Right.
And this is very confusing to me, but apparently her parents are at the top of the list.
If they aren't, she's trying to shield Gordon, Detective Gordon. I don't know whether she just has enough fortitude to shield him or not, or whether she's just so in love with him that she's not angry.
Yeah.
Because I think he would be at the top of her list otherwise. But apparently it's the parents. The parents did kind of turn her away earlier in the season.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they kind of said she could stay, but they made it clear she really couldn't stay with them. So she's mad. They definitely have that sort of, you know, passive-aggressive, or had a passive-aggressive relationship, that rich person passive-aggressive sort of relationship. So, of course, they go there, and that's when, you know, the ogre calls and taunts Jim once they've found out where he lives through the thug that they get off the street. Oh, and how did you like that interrogation scene? Where he tells Bullock he's going to break procedure. And Bullock says, I think I'm going to go get something out of the vending machine.
Yeah. Well, this whole thing just doesn't fit for me with the parents. Now, so they show up there, and then remind me again how Gordon was tipped off that they were there.
They pulled a guy in off the street.
That the interrogation, right?
Right. Some sort of lackey.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Right. And he was from that club that apparently he frequented, at where he got the prostitutes from. And Bullock went there. Remember Bullock went there and saw the whatever the live act was where he ended up pulling people?
But it was actually the call from the ogre that tipped them into the location of where to go, because
after that, yes,
ogre called and said, hey, you know,
right,
going for the ride upstate.
The lackey and the prostitute showed them to where he lived, and when they got to where he lived, that's when he called them, and they got the location of where he was taken
on the phone.
Phone
rang and it was him. Okay, gotcha.
Right. And that's when they were going upstate and when he realized it was her parents. So, yeah, I love that interrogation scene. That, you know,
that guy was really odd.
Yeah, very odd.
Even the way he was dressed was, it worked really well.
Yes, it did.
So they go, Gordon and Bullock show up.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, at this point, when they arrive, they find the butler or the whoever answered the door murdered there, right in the foyer, if you will.
Yep.
And then they show up, and there's lots of struggling going on, and
Barbara looks a little worse for wear.
Yeah, and the ogre actually holds a knife to Barbara's neck and says, you know, I'm going to kill her.
Yeah.
You better grab your gun. And Bullock shows up behind the doorway and takes him out. And as he falls, he grazes her neck with a knife.
Right. Well, Bullock distracts him and Jim shoots him in the head.
Okay. I got it backwards.
Man, it's okay. I rewatched that scene because I wanted to make sure that it was Jim that killed him. Because the prostitute asked him personally to kill him.
Okay.
And
right.
He promised he would.
Right.
So I just, you know, that was, I'm not sure whether that was significant or not, but it was Jim that did it. And it was Bullock that played his wingman.
Right.
So, yeah. Now mind you, he pushed Bullock down the stairs. So Bullock had every right to do it, but he was, you know, he wasn't in a position to do anything. He couldn't get a clear shot from behind him. But he distracted him just enough so that he could get him away. But yeah, he does graze Barbara's neck. And I thought for sure that was going to kill her right in front of Jim.
It's just surreal, though, because when they showed up, they find Barbara standing there kind of like, oh.
Out of it.
He's got blood all over.
Her parents' blood, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Because they're dead. It's confirmed that they're dead.
They're gone. And she's got blood all over her. And she's just kind of standing there like, hi, guys. What do you want?
You need to go away. Now, see, that's what makes me think that she shielded him on purpose. Because she tells him he needs to go away. Well, if you remember, she said that Jim will save me, and he slapped her really hard and said, don't say his name.
Right, because that's the only thing that'll make him mad.
Right. So I think she knows he's in danger.
And she's trying to shield him by going to her parents.
Right, and she has no love for her parents.
Yeah, but still, I mean, yeah, it's Barbara's a complex woman.
Yes, very.
I guess.
Does that make her more interesting?
She's still not wearing pants in this episode.
No, she's not. But she was at a nightclub, so. And, you know, he likes his girls 50 style, the ogre.
Yeah, he does. But he's dead now.
Yep.
And
he dead.
Yeah, he's dead. And we get he shows up back at the GCPD and he basically makes a comment like, you know, oh, you know, it's time to celebrate this one before kind of the crap hits the fan again and something else happens.
Guess what? The crap does hit the fan with the mob.
Yeah, but we've got lots of interesting things potentially. From what I read, there is going to be a return to Gotham by Fish Mooney.
Well, she's got to wrap things up, right?
Yeah, because she's not coming back. She's confirmed this.
Right.
But from what I've seen, kind of the tease is that she returns to Gotham to reclaim her what's hers kind of thing. And I can't wait to see what unfolds there. But more importantly, you've got this full-blown war going on, and you've got Ed tipped over the teeter-totter there. You know, so I think we've got one more episode left this season. So the finale is next week.
Right.
And we've got this full-blown war going on. We've got Ed pretty much for all intents and purposes the Riddler, and we potentially have Fish Mooney coming back into town. So I don't know what to think about Ed and what his place is in kind of the crime or mob scene of Gotham is, because he's not plugged into that at all yet. But I'm wondering almost if he doesn't get tossed into the mix with Fish and Penguin, and some of that mix takes care of Fish. You know, she's gone. She gets killed or something like that. And then we're left with basically the Penguin and the Riddler.
Yeah, I'm assuming there's a lot of crossfire.
Yeah.
And maybe the mob boss is in jail.
Interesting.
Well, we know they have to live, right? I mean, they have to.
And Barbara's still alive.
Right. Well, we think.
I mean, they did not specifically. She looks like she was bleeding pretty good, but they didn't make a big deal out of it. So I think that they probably would have had she passed away.
Right.
So I would anticipate that she's alive at this point in time. And I'm not sure if her storyline is going to continue into season two. But in terms of what do you think? Let's kind of predict or try to make some predictions on what we think the cliffhanger would be for the end of the season. What do you think?
I think it's going to have something to do with Barbara.
You think she's that important of a character that she's going to be involved in the cliffhanger?
I do. As far as the mythology goes.
Okay.
You
want to expand upon that?
Well, she's technically supposed to be with Jim Gordon.
Yeah.
So right now, it's not looking like that. And whether she is injured or close to death, I don't know. That, you know, that could be something on the high emotional scale. If she does die, then... I don't know.
I'm going to make a prediction and say that there's going to be two deaths next week.
Okay.
Fish Mooney.
Yeah.
Leslie Tompkins.
Yeah, see? And that would involve Barbara.
That pushes Barbara to the A-list again.
Right. Or she dies and they name their kid Barbara after her.
But technically, Barbara, from what we've been reading... And I've been hearing, you know, I'm not huge on the DC lore. I'll admit
that. I know the DC lore, and it's Barbara who's the mother of their kids.
I'm big on Dark Knight angle of Batman, but not so much on the entire lore of the character. So isn't it correct, though, that Barbara Keene becomes Mrs. Gordon?
Oh, yes. She becomes Barbara Keene Gordon. And depending on what book you read, what continuity you read, she either dies or they divorce. And it, you know, there's many different ways she dies. She gets killed by the Joker. She gets killed in a car crash. She commits suicide. You know, there's all kinds of ways. There has never been a different mother for his kids before. Now, that doesn't mean they would not take this tack. I could see that happening, that they name kids after her instead of it being Barbara. I don't know. I would be okay with that because people don't like her on the show. You know, if they decided that they like Morena better and they want to keep her on the show, that would be a smart move for the show. And if they want to change the lore a little bit, then, you know, how could I complain with that?
Depends on how many Firefly fans watch Gotham.
I'm guessing a lot.
And Homeland fans. Hey, so now you've got two Homeland alums.
Yes. Playing. Yes. And,
yeah.
A lot. A lot of people.
So the thing about... The thing about the show, though, is that although they've introduced characters that were not in any way introduced in the DC universe before, Fish Mooney, for example, is a character specifically created for the show.
Mm-hmm.
All the characters that are in the show, although the origins may be a little bit different in the comic, they have pretty much treated them properly thus far.
Yeah.
So
they're not out of character.
So I would assume that they somewhat adhere to the traditional storyline with Barbara. Just my thoughts.
See, we don't know a lot about her background.
Yeah.
Because she's largely out of the comic books. They're estranged at the very least.
Yeah.
She doesn't really appear in a lot of the comic books. So her being in this show at all is different.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter which way they decide to go with this, it's going to be different. I don't have a bet in the game. You know, I don't have a horse running.
You're betting on a horse on this race.
No, not at all. I don't really have. I mean, I'd prefer Morena, to be honest, the two actresses.
By far, out of the two actresses, hands down, yeah.
Right. Now, as far as lore goes, I'd prefer she was Barbara.
Yeah.
But if it has to be her as Leslie, which it does, because she's already Leslie, obviously, then I'll take her as Leslie. And, you know, obviously she'd have to name her kids James Gordon Jr. and Barbara Gordon. Right.
Definitely. I think she's a much better... fit for the show, I think.
I agree. 100% I agree.
But would love to hear from the audience. from the listeners. What are your thoughts and theories about what's to come? What are we going to see in this final episode of season one coming up? We'd love to hear from you. There's, as we mentioned earlier, all those ways to give us feedback. You can reach us on Twitter. Our handle is at GothamGSM. And you can also join our Gotham Undercover group on Facebook. The address is www.facebook.com/groups/GothamGSM.
Yeah, so what rating did you give it? You want me to give mine first?
Yeah, you give yours first.
Okay, I'm going to give mine 9 futzed with firing pins for the guns that misfired.
You give it a 9.
Yeah, I liked it.
Wow. Well, I'm going to give it 9 fizzy waters out of 10.
Very good. Fizzy waters.
Fizzy waters.
With some sort of something making it fizzy.
Some
mysterious...
9 spiked glasses of water out of 10. What it says?
Yeah. I'm guessing it's spiked.
Yeah, it's got to be. But yeah, definitely a solid 9. I think this was. I might go on record and say that this is probably my favorite episode of the season thus far. It was just good all around. So much going on, and it left me with so many questions. And I
a lot. What are the odds that Barbara might get locked up in Arkham?
She, that would be interesting.
She looked a little out of it.
Yeah.
Not crazy, ladies.
That's going to wrap it up for our investigation this week. Please, if you could head over to goldenspiralmedia.com/iTunes, check out all the Golden Spiral Media shows on iTunes. We've got lots of great shows for your favorite television series. We've got Arrow. We've got pretty much everything you can think of in terms of sci-fi. We've got great original shows like Stuff I Learned Yesterday. Check that out. And a review if you could.
Yep. Under the Dome coming up this summer.
Under the Dome is a great show. I finally caught up to the second season watching on Amazon Instant Video, and I am a huge fan.
It's cheesy good.
Well, I love Dean Norris from Breaking Bad.
Oh, he's amazing.
That's kind of what brought me to the show. So definitely can't wait to see what's coming there. But check out all the shows we've got. There's lots of great stuff there.
Yeah. Tune in next time to see if Barbara's going to be a pain in the neck. For the answer to this question and more, tune in next week.
Same Gotham time. Same Gotham channel.